Hello and welcome to The Learning Curve, the radio show about learning, where we focus on how to be successful at university. I'm Tim Podolsky.
And I'm Monique DeMonte. The Learning Curve is produced on original lands of Anishinaabe, Cree, Oji-Cree, Dakota, and Dene peoples, and on the homeland of the Red River Métis Nation. We are dedicated to reconciliation and collaboration with Indigenous communities. Hello, and welcome to week three of Student Success Month at the University. Last week was Academic Integrity Week, and the U of M hosted the International Day of Action for Academic Integrity on October 18th. It's clear that there's interest in the topic of artificial intelligence. And we got a lot of interesting and insightful questions from students that we're going to try to address a little bit here today. And with us in studio today, we have Loie Gervais, who is the Academic Integrity Coordinator, and Hal Lowen, Health Sciences Librarian. And they're here to answer your questions about academic integrity and artificial intelligence and how we can work these two things together at university, including in regards to your coursework and doing research. So Loie Gervais is the Academic Integrity Coordinator at UM and creates resources, develops and delivers programming and supports for students to meet the academic integrity expectations. She also meets with students who have been involved in academic misconduct cases. Hal Lowen is an assistant librarian at the Neil John McLean Health Science Library at the U of M. He is the liaison library for the College of Rehabilitation Sciences and has a keen interest in generative artificial intelligence and the developing role that it plays in research as it pertains to libraries. So, Loie, you recently held a couple of information booths where you talked with students about artificial intelligence and academic integrity. What are you hearing from students when it comes to AI?
Well, Monique, there's certainly a lot of interest in AI. Most students are pretty aware of it. Some feel very strongly for or against AI, particularly in an academic setting. Some students are afraid to use it because they're afraid that they might cross the line into academic misconduct, while other students are quite freely admitting that they use it in all kinds of different ways, whether or not they have explicit permission from their instructors. Regardless, there's a lot of questions about it, what it is, what isn't considered AI, and if they can use it for things like brainstorming, revising grammar, or doing practice questions.
And Hal, same question to you. You work with researchers and students in the health sciences. What are you hearing? What kind of questions do folks have?
Sure. I've brought this up at faculty meetings when AI exploded in November of 2022. We started discussing it then and some of the implications, and the faculty and researchers, their interests were ranging from just curiosity about it to a very deep professional interest in how they could use it. I've had the opportunity to poll students in class about whether they used it. I said, I certainly have used it for some of my work, and it's improved some of my workflows in certain areas. And so that opened it up to the students to freely say whether they did or did not. Some casual conversations with other faculty who are very interested in learning about it. And I just saw that the Center for Health Innovation, a research part of the Brady Faculty of Health Sciences, is doing a half-day presentation. One of the topics is going to be on AI and public health modeling.
Oh, very interesting. Well, yeah, sure. There's lots of curiosity about it. And Loie, you mentioned that students are wondering about specific artificial intelligence tools and if they can be used by students for their work. How can a student know if it's okay to use artificial intelligence in their class?
Well, this is an answer that depends a lot on the context. Only an instructor can set that expectation because they know what they want students to be learning. So, for example, if a student is being graded on their grammar or their ability to format a reference, it wouldn't be appropriate for them to use something like Grammarly or an automatic citation generator. Or if an instructor is looking for a student to show steps in a mathematical proof or something similar to that, it wouldn't be appropriate for them to use it. Essentially, it should never be used to shortcut their learning. So we're seeing some classes where instructors are asking students to use AI so they can learn about how to use it appropriately. But that's a bit of a different situation. So overall, I really encourage students to think critically about how they're using it and to be transparent with their instructors about what that should look like.
Psychedelic invocations, a matter, hurry at the station, I give to you the job of a princess of Hindu birth, a woman of flesh, a child of the earth, I give to you the hang-ons of Babylon, Miles Davis, the black unicorn, I give to you the palaces of Montezuma, the gardens of Akbar's tomb, I give to you. The spider goddess and needle boy, the slave dwarves that they employ, I give to you. A custard-colored super dream of Ollie McGraw and Steve McQueen, I give to you. Come on, baby, let's get out of the cold. Give me, your precious love for me to hold. The epic of Gilgamesh, a pretty new black A-line dress, I give to you. The spinal cord of JFK wrapped in Marilyn Monroe's negligee, I give to you. I want nothing in return, just the softest little breathless word. A word contained in a grain of sand that can barely walk, can't even stand. I ask for you. Come on, baby, let's get out of the cold. Give me your precious love for me to hold. Come on.
When it comes to research, let's say that a student or a writer has decided that using an AI tool like ChatGPT is appropriate. Do they need to acknowledge use of this tool? And if so, how do they do that?
I would say absolutely they need to acknowledge that they've been using the tool. A lot depends on the writing style requirements of the department and the instructors. You really need to know what models that they're using, whether it's going to be APA, MLA, Chicago, Vancouver style. And so you want to adhere to those styles. And then cite appropriately if that's going to actually be part of the content of the paper that you're presenting or writing.
So do the style manuals already address these sources?
So it's a little bit strange because if it's going to be a generative AI tool, we cite so that somebody can go back and find that exact item.
Right.
But if it's a generative item, then you will type in the same question the next day and get a different response. So how do you actually cite that?
It's almost maybe like a personal interview or a personal communication.
Yeah. I have found that the few that I've looked at, you can actually just do a simple search online and how to cite ChatGPT in APA style, and then the APA style blog comes up and it shows how to do that.
Great. Oh, that's really helpful for students.
Yeah. If you want to be really transparent, you can also, and I've heard of this and seen some writing about this, is that you can actually produce the transcript of your conversation, he says in quotation marks,
yeah,
of the that you had with ChatGPT, and make that an appendix item to your paper. So you're upfront with exactly how you use the tool and the information that you've received from it, and your instructor then knows
exactly what you produced, what prompts you used.
Exactly.
Right. Okay. Yeah, there's a real transparency to that. Yeah. Loey, when it comes to academic integrity and the use of artificial intelligence, do you have any take-home message for students?
Well, first off, I can really emphasize what Hal mentioned about transparency. That's really the message we're trying to get across to students, is ensuring that they're very transparent about their use of these tools with their instructors, because when students run into issues with academic misconduct, it's usually with regards to not being completely forthcoming about the sources that we've used, how we've come to those ideas, and where we end our own analysis or our own idea, and where somebody else or AI, for example's idea generation comes in. So there's a lot that we're still learning about AI, and seeing how it applies to different settings. That's going to be a big part of the conversation. But it's important for students to be aware that as it becomes more accessible and more sophisticated, they really have to think critically about how they use it. So avoiding just relying on any kind of tool, whether it's Grammarly, whether it's a citation generator, ChatGPT, any of the image generators, we can't just rely on them blindly. We have to think about how we're using them, and again, that we're being very transparent about that as well.
Okay. So, Hal, you focus more on the research side of things. We talk a lot about the strengths and limitations of generative AI tools. How can someone decide if it's a good idea for them to use an artificial intelligence tool as they're doing their research?
The thing that I would encourage students to do is to do some background research about what the generative AI tool is. There's a lot of really great podcasts out there. Hard Fork from the New York Times is one where they've done a lot of talk about what these tools are and what the future of them will be. And that makes you more comfortable with how that tool is being developed and used. So doing some background research is really helpful. The thing that I spent a bit of time working out for myself is I had to create a mental model or a mental map of what artificial intelligence and general artificial intelligence is. That really helped me understand and to put it into a context and relate it to the other more traditional research tools that I'm used to. So I then have an understanding of what the tool can do for me and where to use it appropriately. And so that was really helpful. So taking that time to do that type of thinking about the tools and how to use them is extremely helpful. The other things that I would encourage students to do is to really understand what the tools are and what their limitations are, and then select the correct tool for the correct purpose. If you're looking for brainstorming ideas, then some of the generative, like the ChatGPT tool, Bing and similar, would be a great tool because that'll help you, develop some of those ideas. If you are starting to look at doing some of the research with some of the artificial intelligence tools, which is different than the generative ones, there can be really helpful for helping you get an understanding and then actually linking to the literature, the published literature. So,
can you give some examples of what those artificial intelligence tools are that might be useful for research, for finding specific sources?
Sure. So there are a whole bunch. The two that come to my mind, well, there's a bunch, but the two that come to my mind are Elicit, and that's with an E, not with an I.
Thank you.
It makes a big difference. And Scite. And they are actually generating text based on the literature, and they do actually then reference the published literature. So it's very different than the large language models that are just based on the general internet knowledge that the ChatGPTs will be doing.
I've heard stories that ChatGPT will actually make up sources. Are you more confident that these AI tools, are like Elicit and Scite, are like they're really plugged into the research? They're not just ghosts. They're not hallucinating it like ChatGPT.
Yes, so they are actually going into the literature, and like I said, the nice thing is that you're able to link to it, and then you can actually follow the links all the way through to the article. So, one way that it might be doing a semi-hallucination is that it may grab a text from an abstract or the full text or the title of the article, generate what it thinks is the answer, but maybe the direction of that paper was in contradiction to the point that you were making. So you always need to check back and see, okay, what is the argument that is being made in the paper?
So writers need to read the articles that they're citing. That seems obvious, but
yes.
Don't rely entirely on the artificial intelligence. It can get things a little wrong sometimes.
Yeah, so it can take things out of context.
Okay.
But we're starting to see, I was involved in a beta test at Scopus, which is one of our large databases that a lot of students will be using. And all of these companies and all of these tools are developing a generative AI component to it. So it's going to be everywhere. Mm-hmm. And that's in all of the databases we're going to be seeing in the very near future, that you're going to have the Ask Me type of feature in it, and it's going to summarize things. And it can be really helpful. It can be like a Wikipedia on steroids.
Sure. Yeah.
Loewe,
when you were talking earlier, you talked about Grammarly. I think you mentioned it. Is that an artificial intelligence tool?
Well, that's the thing, is that a lot of tools that we've been using for a while, people aren't necessarily thinking of them as AI. But we can even think of things like AutoCorrect as AI. Grammarly is the same thing. Grammarly is interesting because we can't really give a blanket recommendation against or for using it, because it really depends on your writing in terms of the recommendations that it will make. Some students find that it makes really significant recommendations for revisions that might actually change how their writing comes across. Mm-hmm. And some students just find it fixes some minor grammatical errors.
And so, what advice would you give to students who ask you, am I allowed to use Grammarly?
Well, first and foremost, if the assignment itself is, if you're being graded on your grammar, if that's considered part of the objective of the instructor, then using Grammarly wouldn't be appropriate. But generally, using Grammarly, so long as you're doing it critically and you're not relying on it in place of even some helpful supports, like working with a writing tutor, having a friend just give you general feedback on your paper. All of these things can be really valuable as well.
And are instructors giving students clear direction about this?
I've seen a lot of instructors giving very clear directive about what AI tools can be used, what can't be used. As I mentioned earlier, some classes are actually asking students to use AI in order to learn more about it. But if students ever have any doubts, it's generally best to talk to the instructor or just assume that they shouldn't be using those tools.
So when in doubt, don't use it. Okay, so I have another question along the same lines. Hal, maybe you can talk about, what do you think about automatic citation generators? Is that artificial intelligence, and is it okay for students to use that?
I'm not so familiar with the automatic ones. I'm more familiar with tools such as Mendeley, Zotero, EndNote, which will, if I understand correctly, give you the citation in the style that you choose. Is that sort of where you were going with that?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. And so are those, I mean, they're actually doing work for the writer, so is that okay?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I come from an era where I had to type all my citations, and that almost took as long as writing the paper sometimes. Mm-hmm. So if it does, it can, I guess, reduce some of the workflow for that part of it. But what we have also found is that the citation styles that sometimes come out are incorrect. So you do have to go through every citation and make sure that it is the proper format for the tool or for the source that you're citing. So some of the more difficult things like personal communications and other things that you're going to cite, make sure that you have the style manual to check against.
So you definitely then recommend, if you're going to use Mendeley, Zotero, or EndNote, or any of these other reference management software programs, that students or writers need to double check that with the style guide for sure?
I would highly recommend that, yes.
All right. So we've also heard, I mean, aside from concerns about accuracy with some artificial intelligence tools, can you talk a little bit, Loie, about privacy concerns when using artificial intelligence? In particular, what happens to the content that I upload into AI tools like ChatGPT?
Yeah, so this is an important point to bring up because a lot of times people aren't thinking about where that content is going when they enter it into a tool. It could be a tool like ChatGPT. It could also be something like a text matching software to flag plagiarism. Any of that kind of information that's being entered becomes part of the data set. And so even if you're trying to determine if AI was used, say, on an assignment, if you have some suspicions and you enter it into one of those AI tools themselves, a checker of some kind, that student's or that person's work then becomes part of the data set. So that's something to certainly keep in mind before entering anybody's work, including your own, into one of these AI tools.
So you've addressed privacy. Hal, did you have anything to add? And maybe you could also talk a little bit about bias in artificial intelligence.
Sure. So I think a lot of information, it all comes with some form of bias from the literature where the authors have written about it. They bring in their bias. When it comes to the tools themselves, the developers of those tools will have their biases in the development of those tools, whether they are intentional or not. So that is certainly an aspect about it. In terms of the information, is that what you were asking about, about the personal information? You have to be aware of what you are giving forth about yourself as you're describing it. But the tricky thing is, and if you look at some of these articles and YouTube videos about how to create the best prompts to get the best answers, those tools really perform well when you provide a lot of context about who you are and what you're asking from it. You will get the best results if that. So you have to weigh for yourself then, how much information do I want to give up of myself? How much of that information becomes findable by whoever or whatever later on down the line? But you still, if you are going to be using these tools effectively, have to be able to give information to get the best answer possible.
Okay. Did you have anything to add about accuracy or bias? Loie, did you want to?
Yeah, the accuracy part is interesting as well as the bias. Particularly, I heard from a lot of students that they are using tools like ChatGPT for idea generation to get them started on a paper, for brainstorming. And it's really important to think about the accuracy of that information, the bias of that information, particularly if you're using it to substantiate an argument you're trying to make or to build your argument in your writing in general. That information shouldn't just be taken blindly and put into your assignment for a variety of reasons, but accuracy is a big one. And that's one of the ways that I've seen students get flagged for academic misconduct is accuracy of information and particularly the source of that information.
So the student didn't think critically about the content that was produced by the artificial intelligence.
Exactly. And those are the situations where a student might be looking to save time and kind of shortcut their learning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I've heard some people say that although it's called artificial intelligence, it's really lacking that critical thinking skill at this point. So that's still the part where human activity is still very essential to this kind of thinking and researching and writing. So how can you give students or researchers some advice? Where can they go to find out more information? Where can they find resources about writing and about use or not using artificial intelligence?
I could tell you where not to go.
Oh, that might be a good start.
Well, yeah. No, you will find some good information. It was interesting as I was doing some of my background research about these tools, and I go online and look at videos about how to write a systematic review in 1 hour. Well, no, that's not possible in any world or any reality. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of things, and people are very hyped up about that sort of thing. Look for reputable sources. I would say go to the tools themselves and how to use it. One of the ways that I learned how to use it was actually to ask ChatGPT, hey, create a little tutorial for me to learn how to use it, the tool itself, and mm-hmm. it did a pretty good job of that. At the library, we just finished a researcher workshop where we were talking about generative AI tools and how to use them to empower your research. That's going to be available on our YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. It's a one-hour tutorial where myself and my colleague Maylin Lee presented on that.
So if I wanted to search for that, I could go to YouTube and I would type in...
UManitoba Library Workshop, the Researcher Workshop Series.
Okay. Any other resources?
Those would be the ones that, like I said, that I'm familiar with. Investigate some interesting podcasts on it, because even just learning or listening to people talk about it, you can learn a lot about how the tools work.
And Loie, what about you? What advice would you give to students in terms of finding more information or accessing campus resources to help them with the questions they may have?
First and foremost, if they have questions specifically about their assignments, their instructors are the only people that can answer them. A lot of times students find it easier, and it is easier, to talk to their peers or based off of their own assumptions. In addition to that, any of these tools, if you're going to be using them, use them in addition to seeking university resources like the writing tutors that are available free of charge to students. A number of our resources available on writing and study skills on the Academic Learning Center website. And then lastly, we have some information on artificial intelligence on the Academic Integrity website as well. So that's always a great place to go.
Great. Thanks very much, Loie. Thanks very much, Hal. I really appreciate your coming in to talk with us about artificial intelligence and academic integrity today. And good luck to everybody with your writing and your researching.
This has been The Learning Curve. Thanks for tuning in. Looking forward to having you join us on our next episode.
The Academic Learning Center provides free supports to all UM students. Go to the Academic Learning Center website for more information and to access supports.